Let me do my best today, my friends, to have a heart-to-heart with you about how we put to death the deeds of our body. Because I worry about it, you know. I think to myself when I've left the broadcast, well, did I say it clearly? And I think through the day till the next broadcast, how can I say that in a better way? Is there a better way to express it? Well, let's try, shall we? This is Colin Cook and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to the Gospel News, the good news about our Savior, our friend, Jesus Christ, our mighty Captain, our Victor. And you're listening to a broadcast about how faith is trained. That's why we call this broadcast How It Happens, how the Gospel happens, and how our faith happens. And, you know, we're looking at this Romans chapter 8, where Paul says, put to death the deeds of the body. And if you do that, you will live. And we're not talking, he's not talking about putting to death the body that's counted as dead in Christ. But how do we really apply this verse? I know I've spent days on this subject so far, but it does worry me. It does bother me because I know people out there are really struggling with behaviors that are compulsive and thoughts that are obsessive, many dealing with addictions. And as I said before, they look at this verse and they say, well, that doesn't give me much of a clue. How do I put to death the deeds of the body? I wish Paul had written a manuscript on that, for goodness sake. But of course, as I said the other day, he has in a way. Now look, I want you to understand, I'm not standing here on the bank of the river having got high and dry and freed from all my compulsive behaviors and obsessive thoughts and talking down to you who are simply swirling around in them in the river. That's not it. I struggle daily with how to put my body, the deeds of my body to death. The worst story of my life is mostly that I don't struggle with it. I let it go. But we all are like that, aren't we? We sometimes struggle and then we give up the fight and we flow with the flow. So what do we do here? Well, I think, again, going through gently and carefully what the book of Romans from chapters 5 and onwards has said. One of the ways I put to death the deeds of my body, one of the ways you may put to death the deeds of your body, is to affirm that I am not abandoned. That is to say, when you're in the midst of a struggle, the midst of a temptation, maybe the midst of a failure, you say in your heart, you speak in your spirit, I am not abandoned. Father, you do not leave me to my own devices. You are here with me. That, of course, is based on Romans 5, the truth that the wrath of God, which is to hand us over to the powers of sin, has been removed. We are no longer under God's wrath in Jesus Christ. Now, why would that have some kind of effect? Well, because, my friends, often a compulsive behavior is an attempt to kill the pain of feeling abandoned. People who are abused, who have been harmed as children, either being neglected or physically or sexually or verbally abused, feel abandoned. The pain of that abandonment continues in their adolescence to their adult life, and it's so painful, and they feel so alone, that they then escape into various addictive or compulsive behaviors. But the problem is, of course, that the compulsive behavior, once it's completed and finished, makes us feel more abandoned than ever. Now, to speak into my life and to say, Father, I thank you that I am not abandoned. Therefore, you are with me in this struggle. And as a result of knowing and affirming that, it doesn't feel so powerful, Lord. And I think I can let go of it today, or this hour, or tonight, or this morning. So that's one of the ways one puts to death the deeds of the body, by recognizing that one is not abandoned. And that's all wrapped around chapter 5. And then here's another. This temptation is not the true me. That's Romans 6, you see, where Paul says that we are counted as dead, that we died to sin. Not to sins, not to habits and behaviors, but the whole sin identity as fallen human beings. Now, you see, what so often happens in a temptation and a habit is that I am fully identified with it. It's me. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict. I'm a sex addict. Whatever it may be, I'm a foodaholic. And so we so identify with the habit that we think there's no way of separating from it, because that would be like committing schizophrenia or something. But the more I tell myself and my Heavenly Father, Father, thank you that you haven't abandoned me. You are right here with me. And this thing I feel in me is not really the true me, because I, the natural me, am counted as dead, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I think I can say no to this right now. It's not the real me. The real me is the one that loves life, the one that loves to feel innocent and not go around feeling guilty and ashamed all the time, the one who loves to feel that I have accomplished something and feel good about myself today. This that is being offered to me is not the real me. So that's another way we can put to death the deeds of the body. Now here's another way. When a temptation comes, or I feel like just indulging in all of my abandonment and irresponsibility, Father, I thank you that I don't have to feel guilty for this. And this, you see, is based on chapter 7, where we are delivered from the law. Now, how will that make a difference? Well, you see, so much guilt, especially when it gets to the level of virtual panic, actually increases the strength of a temptation. Guilt that leads to panic makes us feel out of control. We, again, feel that we're abandoned, because if we're guilty, God is frowning on us and we're abandoned. And that loss of control, that guilt, is so shaming, so fear-inducing, that I'm very often inclined to go into sin in order to forget how guilty I am. As you know, Paul says that the motions of sin are stimulated by the law. So what I say now, then, you see, is, Father, I thank you that I am counted as righteous in Christ. I don't have to deal with this temptation that I feel by trying to escape guilt by obedience to the law, because I thank you, dear God, that there is no condemnation and there is no guilt. I'm not abandoned. You are here with me. There's no wrath. This isn't really me, because I died to sin in the body of Christ at the cross, and the true me is the person in faith resurrected with Christ. And I'm not condemned either, dear Father, so I needn't operate by trying to flee from guilt or ingratiate guilt or try to appease it by rigorous obedience to law, because that won't get me anywhere. And here's another approach, the fourth one. You're tempted, you're feeling alone, you're feeling that this is really you, you're feeling terribly guilty. But then you say, Father in heaven, This feels like a deadly thing that I am in and tempted by. But I am not under the power of death. This thing is now, this temptation, an instrument of life, because I am now in the kingdom of Adam, of Christ, the second Adam, where there is no power of sin, no power of the judgment of death, where I am freed from the kingdom of Adam in which is sin and death. Now you see, what difference will that make? Well, it will transform the perception you have of what is happening to you. We get scared of things that are likely to ruin us and destroy us or harm our day or ruin our plans. But that's the power of death, you see. Now, if you sense, no, this isn't ruining my plan. This is strengthening my faith. This is pushing me upon God. This is reminding me that I am not abandoned, but the Father is close to me. This is reminding me that this is not who I am. Thank you for this temptation, Lord. This is it's a reminder that I am in Christ. I'm not in my natural humanity anymore. Thank you, Father, that this is a reminder that I'm not condemned. I'm not under the power of the law, which frightens me and makes me feel helpless and makes me want to desperately try to obey it. No, I'm under the grace of Christ. I'm counted as righteous. Therefore, I think I can say no to this. And this isn't a power of death, Lord. This is a power of life. This is an instrumentality. In this temptation are the instruments by which I grow. You know, I have a good feeling right now, my friend. I feel that I've got this point over better to you, maybe by slowing down, huh, than I have done in the last few days. So this is the gospel then, you see. It is not the law. It is not trying to climb into acceptance. It is accepting what God has done in Christ and then taking advantage of it and moving in upon it and practicing faith in it so that we can grow, so that we don't have to repress ourselves, so that we know who we are in Christ. I'm inviting you to remember this ministry, my friend, to remember how it happens, this broadcast, during your Christmas giving, would you? There are a number of, quite a number actually, of listeners who determine to give a special end-of-year donation. It's a tax-deductible donation to the ministry. And if you choose to do that, please be sure to get it in by the post-stamped date of the 31st of December. Then it's available for tax deduction for this year, 2011. I will send you a receipt for your donation at the end, in the middle of January 2012. Remember, my friend, this ministry relies on you for its perpetuation, for its endurance. We've been going for 35 years, coming up to 35 years now, and 15 years, the broadcast is in its 15th year. Praise God for that endurance. All because of you, dear friends. You are the backbone of this ministry. Please become a partner, either by a one-time annual donation, or several donations a year if you like, or a monthly donation. And I will send you my Cook's Monthly Message, which will be on the book of Colossians at the moment, and an inspiration to you throughout the month. So if you want to make your donation, please send it to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That's Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. Thank you, my friends, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.